Okay, Rabbi Isai, so a guten Abend. So tonight, of course, we'll start with some Maori Nayim, and then we will go on to other matters. So the Maori Nayim of Parshas Kisisa speaks about Shabbos, and in Kisisa we have one of the versions of Shabbos, is in Parshas Kisisa. And it says in the Maor Nayim, it brings down the statement in Masechta Demai, Perek Dalet, that although ordinarily you cannot trust an Am Haaretz. An Am Haaretz is a person who doesn't have, it's not that he's ignoramus entirely, he does know some Torah, but he doesn't have the soul of the Torah. He's not in touch with the neshama of Torah because he doesn't have a Rebbe. He doesn't have a rabbi. He's not meshamash to mechachamim. He's really just, he has the facade, but not the real genuine Torah. So Amoras, even though the whole week you can't trust him, and he usually would lie, because the truth of the Torah has not permeated his essence, but on Shabbos, even the Amoritz is trustworthy, and you can trust him with regard to Kashrus, because Ema Shabbos Allah, because the fear of Shabbos seizes even a Talmud Chacham. And why does it mean that Shabbos, the fear of Shabbos seizes a Talmud Chacham? And what it means is that the whole week, a person can have Das, he can have Torah. So we're in the Maor Nayim on page Kuf Tzadi Zion in the Maor Nayim. The whole week a person can have Torah, but the Torah doesn't totally fill up his personality. He has Torah, but there's other things there too. There's other things. And he doesn't have Das Sholem. He doesn't have full knowledge of Hashem. I mean, full means his whole being, his whole personality is not filled exclusively with knowledge of Hashem. And therefore Chazal say, Kol Hashem is Shabbos kil chosoy. A person who keeps Shabbos kil chosoy, like the full halacha, so there are many different benefits he gets. What it means to keep Shabbos kil chosoy? It means he keeps the Shabbos totally. And on Shabbos, a Jew can be totally filled with the presence of Hashem, like the Yidden word Har Sinai. And Kilchas also means, Lashni says, like a journey. Our souls come from heaven and are attached to heaven, and the spiritual current comes down from heaven into our bodies. But during the week, our souls don't come to the highest place, and therefore our souls aren't totally filled with heavenly spirituality. On Shabbos, you can have Kilchas, you can have the whole journey. The soul goes all the way to the top, and comes back and fills up our bodies down to the bottom, and we're full of Shabbos and full of knowledge of Hashem, and there's no room for lying. And he says this word, that when a person does an Aveira, it's like the whole Torah is imprinted on our hearts. The Gemara says in Shabbos, every Jew is a walking, talking Sefer Torah, and when a person does an Aveira, it's like he is erasing that line of the Torah from his own personal Torah etched in his flesh. So if you ate something on kosher, you'd like be vandalizing your own Sefer Torah and ripping out the words, Basa basada trevelo zachelu, don't eat treve. And when a person does a mitzvah, so he is engraving that mitzvah on a Sefer Torah. But he seems to imply that when you do a mitzvah, the engraving is so strong, especially on Shabbos, that it is engraved in stone. In other words, there's two levels of how deeply the Torah is etched into a person. The Torah can be written on you superficially, like it's written on the cloth of a Sefer Torah. It's just on the surface. It's ink on the surface. It's not etched into the cloth, or you could be like the Luchos, where it's etched into the luchos, it's etched into the stone. So, if a person does not veira, it's like he's wiping off the letters of the Torah off the surface of a Sefer Torah. When you do a mitzvah, it's like you are literally engraving and chiseling into stone the new mitzvah you're doing. Now, he points out, again, every time I tell you these things, I'm telling you such a fragment of what he's saying. Because literally on every two lines, we could spend the whole night. So I'm just giving you a little touch, a drop, a sliver, a morsel of what he says. He says, you know, in Kabbalah language, a person who is in touch with God's intellect and in touch with the enormity of his own intellect is called a person who has moichin the godless. Moach literally means in Hebrew a mind, a brain. Now, when a person is using his brain properly, it's called he has moichin the godless. He has a mature, developed mind. But he says, why is it called moach? So he says, it's called moichin, very big kiddush. Moichin is because in Hebrew, the word moche also means moche, which means to protest and to stop something. So the mind is made to stop us. People think that a mind, a great mind, if I know a lot of facts, I come up with some cute chedushim, I know some shetlach, I know some pilpulim, very impressive. That's not called a mind that is full of intellect. A mind that's great is the mind that's moichin. When your mind is constantly disciplining you, warning you, stopping you from doing something silly, foolish, wrong, sinful, that's called moichin. Moichin u'ma'akvin. That your mind is like a father who is standing over his son all the time and telling him, behave yourself. That's a good mind. A mind that is just filled with a lot of Torah facts, a lot of knowledge, but the knowledge doesn't discipline you, that's not called moichin. Moichin is when it's lashon macha. Moche is to protest something wrong. He says the word moichin also is cognate with the word mechaya. If the moichin protests and holds us back from doing something wrong, then we have a mechaya. Then we have, mechaya means to be full of life, to be invigorated, to be refreshed. Mechaya, it's a mechaya. It's a great thing. I feel full of life. I feel geschmack. Because people think that the main joy of life, geschmack, is giving in and indulging. People think indulging is geschmack. Ah, mechaya. Wow, I enjoyed this taiva. I enjoyed this lust. A mechaya. But it's not true. Mechaya comes from mochin. When your mind doesn't let you indulge, and doesn't let you sin, and doesn't let you pamper yourself, and doesn't let you sink into the flesh, then from that comes mechaya. That's a life of true self-respect, a life of true self-worth. You feel good about yourself. Because every time you give in, we give in to our addictions and to our taivas, and you don't want to turn on the television set, but you do, and you don't want to turn on the internet, but you do, and you don't want to eat some more, but you do, and you don't want to do every indulgence, but you do it, you really feel lousy. Later on you feel lousy, and the truth is, you feel so lousy that you feel full of pain. And that itself is an incentive to do some more sins to cover up the pain, with some more pseudo-pleasure, which seems to take your mind off the pain you have. You feel so worthless. So mochin brings to mechaya. Beautiful. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol mi'yev dro. Now, he says that the truth is that it says, the Gemara says, in Shabbos, whoever the Mekayim Shalosh Shudis is Nitzel Mishalosh Peronius. The person who fulfills Shalosh Shudis, doesn't say he eats, he says he fulfills Shalosh Shudis, is saved from three punishments. Chevle Mashiach, the pains of the arrival of the Mashiach, the Messianic year can be very painful, from Gehenna, and from the war of Gog and Magog, which is the war that precedes the arrival of Mashiach. So he says, it doesn't say whoever eats Shalosh Shudas. A lot of people eat Shalosh Shudas, but it's not called fulfilling Shalosh Shudas, three meals. Fulfilling three meals means that you want to bring the Shabbos spirit so deep that it even enters your body through the food. But my purpose of eating the food on Shabbos is not, again, to give myself gustatory pleasure, culinary pleasure. My purpose of eating the food on Shabbos is to sanctify the food and to bring, and even in my flesh and my belly, which are so material, so animalistic. Animals have bellies too, but I don't eat like an animal on Shabbos. Animals, they eat, but they don't eat Shabbos. I'm eating for the sake of Shabbos pleasure, L'chavit Shabbos. I really mean that. I'm eating L'chavit Shabbos, for the honor of Shabbos. To show Shabbos, that even my body, my animal body is participating in Shabbos. If you do that, then you're saved from all kinds of pains. And particularly, he says, the idea that you're saved from Gehenna is because he says Gehenna really is Bilbul. Bilbul HaMoyach. That's called Dincha Gehenna. A person, I would say in modern therapeutic terms, we could call Gehenna anxiety. People who suffer from various mental anxieties, mental disorders, depression, any kinds of mental imbalance with quality. He says it's called bilbul. The general term is bilbul. Bilbul means confusion. Bilbul means imbalance. Bilbul means to be all shook up, to be irrational. And there's a lot of that. It's a general rubric for a lack of mental stability. So if a person wants to get mental stability and emotional stability, which if you don't have it, it's very painful. Much more painful than physical pain is emotional and mental pain. To suffer from manic depression, from obsessive compulsive, or whatever, any mood swings and a lack of stability, a lot of pain, that's called bilbul hamoach. And that's the equivalent of Gehenna in this world. That's hell on earth. Hell on earth is bilbul hamoach. So he says, if a person would eat Shabbos properly and try to really get into Shabbos, Shabbos is a tremendous therapy. It's a new modality for psychiatrists called Shabbos therapy. It's cheaper than all these other medicines that they sell, all these other pills. It's called Shabbos therapy, and Shabbos therapy gives a person yishuv hadas. It's interesting to note that I just noted here my margin that Gehenna in Gematria is 98. And Bilbul, Koyach Bilbul, is 98. And what it really means is, why are people so confused today? Why is there so much mental sickness amongst Jews even? And we have to come on to non-Jewish healers and modalities to cure ourselves. Is because the word bilbul, you know, the gematria of bilbel, bilbul, in gematria, is exactly 70. Because we allow the 70 nations, there's so much goyishkeit in us, that the Jews are confused. What's really causing our mental health, non-health, our mental illness, and our lack of emotional and mental stability, is the fact that we're in Gullus too long, and that if we'd be totally Jews, monolithic Jews, totally Jews, we'd be happy and fine. But the fact that we allow that the Gullus has made so many cracks in our personality, and we have so many foreign agents and foreign influences and foreign cultures within ourselves, that's what makes the bilbul. So interesting, bilbul in gematria is exactly 70. It is the 70 nations that confuse us and mix us up. And we don't know what we want. We don't know what we want. So I would want just what a Jew is supposed to want. Menachem has it straight. He just wants to be Baki B'Shas, Talmud Chacham, Dik Tzadik, Oyved Hashem, Baal Tzedakah, Anav, Baal Chesed, right if mitzvahs. So he has it all straight. If I had totally Jewish values without any Gentile, foreign, alien adhesions, I would be very on the money, on the target. I would have a very focused life. I wouldn't suffer from any mental imbalance. But the reason why there's Bilbul, because Bilbul is Gematria 70. We have all the nations, all the cultures of the world are imposing their values and their yearnings and their desires and their ambitions upon us. And that's what drives us crazy. And that's what the Gemara means when it says that the first king to mix the old world up with Sancheirev. And says, Bos Sancheirev, Bilbul Kulumos. Sancheirev came and mixed up all the 70 nations. But Pajim Shat in the Gemara means that he mixed up the physical entities of nations. He took every nation off their land and put them in a different country. He mixed the nations up geographically. But really what it means is he mixed them up culturally. That culturally, the whole world is one big cultural potpourri, one big melting pot, one big mixture. And today, is there Chinese culture? There's McDonald's in China. And there's Walmart's in China, and Costco's in China. And America's all over the world, and the whole world's in America. So America's eating, go to any shopping strip, you have Mexican food, and you have Japanese sushi, and you have Italian pizza, and you have French fries, and you have every cuisine in the world is here, and American hamburgers are there, and American stores are there, and Chinese products are here, and the whole world's one big mishmash. There's no one, there really is no pure culture left in the world. Every culture is a mixture of many different cultures. It's mamish a smorgasbord. It's a bilbul. No one knows who they are. What do I want? Do I want American? Do I want to be American? Do I want to be Swiss? Do I want to be Norwegian? Do I want to be an Eskimo? You want to be an Eskimo? You really want to live in an igloo? What do you want to be? You want to go skiing? You want to go mushing with your horse? Do you want to have a horse? Do you want to have a husky? No one knows what they want. So, this is the, again, he says that throughout the week, a person is in the Olam HaGalgalim. Throughout the week, a person is, the Galgalim are the orbits. But the word Gilgal really means to spin your wheels. That's the gift of Shabbos. Throughout the week, we have Bilbul. Throughout the week, we have Gehenna. But a person, the Gimel Sudos, a person who eats the three meals of Shabbos with the intent of being fully saturated with Shabbos, even on the most physical level, even into my belly. I want Shabbos food into my belly. I want Shabbos into my molecular core. I want Shabbos to permeate the essence of my being. That means I want to be totally Jewish. Nothing goyish in me. I am rejecting and expunging and purging all non-Jewish elements from me. All these alien elements. Shabbos is the day of Judaism. So the person who's Makayim the Gimel Sudais and purges himself of the 70 nations, he purges himself from Bilbul. Bilbul is confusion. Bilbul is a mind spinning. And he's no longer the Olam HaGalgalim. Galgalim literally means wheels. Just like wheels go around in circles. When we are not focused on Jewish values, we're spinning our wheels, going in circles. We get very confused. If you would focus on exactly what you want to do, to become a big Talmud Chacham, a big tzaddik, a leader of Klai Yisrael, you'd have the happiest life in the world. You know exactly where you're going. It's only like he's not sure. Where am I going? Where do I want to go? Do I want to go here? Do I want to go there? Do I want to go to college? Do I want to be a doctor? A lawyer? I'm not sure. It's terrible. It was a nice Arsamea boy. He was just about to become a doctor. He came to the yeshiva, though. His whole life turned upside down. He doesn't want to be a doctor anymore. Why do I waste my life on being a doctor? I want to become a Talmud Chacham and save Jewish souls. There's plenty of other people who need doctors. The Italians need doctors. The French, the Indians are great doctors all over the place. Ranjan Jai Jajibapuri, every hospital is full of Indian doctors and Haitian nurses. So they don't have to be Jewish for that. Well, let the Indians be the doctors and the Russians. And the Jews will be doctors of the soul. So the boy, he just dropped out of his medical school. He just had no joy in it anymore. He found himself. He felt he was an Olam HaGalgalim until now. And now he became focused on what he really wants to do. And that is one of the great gifts of Shabbos. Shabbos gives us focus. Shabbos takes us out of the world of Galgalim. Okay, again, there's much to be learned from the Mori Naim on Paras Kisisa, but that's a little bit. And now we turn to our guest Rebbe for the week, and that will be the Nomeli Melech. His yard size is mostly Shabbos and Sunday, Kaf Alef Adar. You going? Yeah, you got a ticket? What? Okay. So we hope this gentleman's going to go. Very good. Now, Nomeli Melech is an awesome sefer. It really, just the parts of Nomeli Melech which are pure nigla are amazing. Just the pure nigla is amazing. Because if we just read his tzetel katan and the other things he wrote, like Musar, that itself would give us a glimpse of the greatness of this man. But let me try to choose for you a few. Now, the Nomeli Melech in this week's parsha itself is a classic. It's one of my, actually my favorite, I must tell you. I'm sure I've shared it with you, Chaim. The Nomeli Melech, I think of parsha Kisisa. He says, he speaks about the menorah. The Nomeli Melech in this week's parsha speaks about the menorah. And he says about the menorah the following. It says that Ner Maravi Hayadoilek Mimeno Hayamadlik Mimeno Hayamativ. This is really my favorite Nomeli Melech, I must tell you. This week's parsha. The Chavad is yard site. It's always Kisisa's yard site. In the Beis HaMikdash, you have the menorah. Seven candles. One of those candles is called the Ner Maravi, the western candle. It's a question exactly which one was the west one. The middle one, or maybe the second one from the east. But there was a candle called Ner Maravi, the western candle. So, the Gemara says that ordinarily there was a big mitzvah, there was a miracle in this Ner. Stam, the menorah was lit in the evening, and it lit all night. And there's only enough oil in the menorah to light all night. The Ner Maravi was a miracle. The Ner Maravi, they put in enough oil for like a whole night, 12 hours, but it lit 24 hours. Big miracle. You had oil for 12 hours, all the other candles went out, same amount of oil, the Maravi is still lit. Okay, now, because of that, the Ner Maravi was the candle from which they lit first, and from it, they lit the other candles as well. It was like the beginning and the end. Now, because you see, there's two mitzvahs about Lucas Neiris. Number one, you light the candles, so they started lighting from the Ner Maravi, and also, there's a mitzvah of Hatava. Hatava is to clean out the lamps after the candles go out. You have to clean out all the residual ash that's left over from the wick and the extra oil that wasn't consumed. So you have to clean it out. You have to have a clean lamp, a clean receptacle. So the Ner Maravi was the one that they cleaned out first, and it was also the one that they lit from. This was like home base. So the Nomeli Melech, as I mentioned to you last night, one of the recurring themes of Nomeli Melech is the importance of being Dovik and the Tzaddik, the really Dovik and the Tzaddik. You have to really cling to a Tzaddik and surrender to the Tzaddik. As you surrender to a Tzaddik, as he rises, he'll drag you with him. But if you just play lip service to the Tzaddik, you say nice things, but you don't really mean it, you're not really clinging to him, and you can live without him, but yeah, it's fun to be around him sometimes. So then, the Tzaddik will not have a locomotive effect on you, that he's going to be the locomotive and pull you along. So he says that Ner Maravi, the western lamp, really represents the Tzaddik. Why is it called Maravi? Beautiful word. He says because Maravi means, number one, the word Ma'arav doesn't just mean the west. It really means, Ma'arev means to mix together things. You know why the west is called Ma'arav? Because literally the word in Hebrew means ma'ariv, really means to mix together. So what's happening is in the west, when the sun goes down, the light of the sun, all its rays are being dissolved in darkness. So the reason why it's called ma'ariv is not that ma'ariv means west. Ma'ariv means west only because that's the direction where the sun goes down and the sun's light is being dissolved and lost and mixed in, so to speak, to the darkness. It's being mixed into the darkness, dissolved in the shadows. But the word really, ma'arav, means to mix together. So a tzaddik, number one, is a mixture of everybody's personality. The tzaddik is such a multifaceted person because the closer you get to God, the source of all human life, your personality takes on many different strokes, many different hues, many different colors, many different aspects, many different glows, which includes, so therefore everybody will relate to you. That a person is far from God, you are you what you are, you're just you. You're a private, individual fragment to which others cannot relate. But when you get close to Hashem, which is the source of all personalities, then your personality takes on a multifaceted personality dimension. You become polychromatic. Many colored personality. So many people can relate to you. They see themselves in you. So the tzaddik is called the Ner Maravi because the tzaddik, his personality has many, many sides to it, many hues and colors, and everybody relates to him. And he cares about everybody. And he has also not only that, his personality is a mixture of many good, holy characteristics. He has like Kedusha, he has sanctity, he has purity. He has love for God. He has fear for God. He has Torah. He has tefillah. He has tzedakah. He has chasadim. So the Ner Maravi is the tzaddik whose personality is a mixture of many, many of the best qualities. All the best qualities you find in him. He has everything. He's usually a very multifaceted person. Not just good in one area, but good in all areas. He's a mixture of everything. So that's what it's called Maravi. And also he's called Maravi from the term Arevus. Arevus means to be sweet. The Shoresh Ayin Reish Beis also means sweet. Arev. Because the tzaddik is sweet. Everyone loves him again. Because of his personality, everyone finds a little bit of themselves in the tzaddik. So they relate to the tzaddik. So therefore they feel good about themselves. Hey, I must be pretty good. The tzaddik is like me. I'm like the tzaddik. So I feel good about myself. Therefore, it's sweet. So the tzaddik is also Zis. He's Arev. So immediately he says, that's a pshat. Why? The Ner Maravi, Memena Madlik, and Memena Meitiv. Meaning, that the tzaddik is Madlik. So we're comparing the tzaddik to the Ner Maravi. You got that? The tzaddik is compared to the Western lamp. The Western lamp has two functions. One function is this is the lamp from which they light the other lamps in the Beis HaMikdash. That's number one. The tzaddik kindles the souls of other people. You look at the tzaddik, you hear from the tzaddik, suddenly your dead soul, which was dark, you become like a candle that was just lit up. And you feel like you're lit up. And some fire goes into you, some passion goes into you. That's the first function of the tzaddik. It's like the Ner Maravi. Memenu Madlik. From this candle, others are lit. And the second function of the tzaddik is that the tzaddik, memenu meitiv, the tzaddik is like the Ner Maravi. The Ner Maravi is the one. The Ner Maravi is the one that you clean out, and in other words, you empty it from all foreign alien stuff, so there's room for more oil, which is more bracha, which means to say that the tzaddik is meitiv the Klal Yisrael. The tzaddik, number one, kindles Klal Yisrael spiritually. He lights up their hearts, lights up their minds, gets their spirits excited about serving Hashem. Number two, the tzaddik is meitiv to Klal Yisrael. He brings good things to Klal Yisrael. He is a source of blessing. Because of the tzaddik, God sends down blessings to Klal Yisrael. And every Jew becomes a receptacle for bracha. That's what Noam HaMelech says. When I learned this Noam HaMelech years ago, I had an epiphany. I understood for the first time the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says, what's the Daf Nun Bey, Daf Nun Gimel? Gemara tells us about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Gemara says that Rav Shimon Gamliel, by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, did two things. Now, all the rabbis did very interesting things by Simchas Beis HaShoeva. I think it was Shmuel, one of them juggled cups of wine, one juggled knives. They did different things. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who was really the greatest of them because he was a Tana, he would juggle 8 torches, and then juggling 8, I don't think it can be done today. No one can juggle 8 torches. If you look in the Guinness Book of Records, I don't think it's possible to juggle anything 8. Certainly not torches. And to juggle cups of wine without spilling a drop, I don't think anybody can do that today. Juggle cups of wine? Juggle 8 torches? It's pretty amazing. You can juggle. I've seen people just, there's a fellow in Childers, 2 or 3. 3 you could do. Maybe someone could do 4, some awesome. 5, 6, 7, 8, impossible. He did 8. And when he finished the juggling, he would do a handstand, but he would put himself upside down, and he would balance himself on his thumbs, again, something cannot be done today, balance his head on his thumbs, and lower his head down to the ground and kiss the earth, the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel did at the party of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, to show joy. So the question is, what is the meaning of this? Well, I mean, fine. Can you imagine the greatest rabbis in the world juggling and then doing handstands on their thumbs? We're not talking about little rabbis. Rabbi Yashiv, the Belzer Rebbe, will do that, you know, do a thumb stand. He'll juggle 8 torches, then he'll flip himself upside down, balance himself on his thumbs, and kiss the earth. Strange thing to do. What's the meaning of this? So, the Mefarshim say that the significance of throwing up 8 torches is, it's exactly the point. And it says one torch never touched another torch. It was constantly in motion. You never had two torches in his hands at once. So the Ben Yoyada says that the idea of juggling torches is the idea of juggling souls. The Tzadik Hador is the one who brings out the spark of Kedusha from every soul. So the reason to go to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkos was, in case your soul had not yet been kindled, and you're feeling cold and indifferent, and there's no passion in your service of Hashem, the tzaddik has the ability to light a candle in your soul, and the 8 going around in a circle, and not one touches another, is the idea that he lights every soul differently. No two souls are alike. Everybody is inspired to do something else. Everybody has a different way of serving Hashem within the realm of Torah. So, again, one person will be a great dentist like Adalia, and one will be, actually, two dentists, yeah, and one will be a dentist like Dr. Goldstein, and one will be, anybody different, one will be a Talmud Chacham who's teaching Torah, and one will be a lawyer, and one will be something else, and one will be a gardener, and one will be a painter. But they're all doing it to serve Hashem. So the tzaddik lights up in the neshamas. That's the idea of the 8 torches. And what's the idea of doing the handstand on your thumbs? So exactly the point. The tzaddik's avoda is two-dimensional. He has an avoda which is from down here upward. They lift up souls from down here up. And he also brings from up there, he brings the bracha from God down to earth. He opens up the gates of heaven to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael. That's the idea that he flips himself over, and he balances himself on his thumb, and he kisses the earth, meaning to say that he brings a bracha down to earth. That's the idea. He turns it over. The idea that his avoda, his service is two pronged. First, he uses the earth for a launching pad to lift up souls towards heaven. That's from here, from below to above, and then he goes, turns himself over, and brings down the blessings of God from above down to below, right down to the earth itself. He kisses the earth itself to bring the blessing into the lowest places. So that's exactly what the Noam HaMelech is saying. The Noam HaMelech said that the tzaddik is called Ne'er Ravi. He does two things. The Ne'er Ravi is where you light from, because he lights up souls. And also he's native, he brings the brothers of God down to earth. That's exactly what Rav Shimon Lee was doing on Simchas Beis Yeshiva. That's beautiful. Now we understand what he was doing. He was totally demonstrating the role of the tzaddik as the Nemar Rabbi to do the two functions that the Nolim Melech is speaking about over here. That's the pshat. And in other words, to conclude this thought, what the tzaddik is doing is I love telling of the story I said over in Shul a few weeks ago about Rav Shlom Kishviler, that there was a great tzaddik called Rav Shlom Kishviler who died in 1945, who was a big, big Rebbe in the Ukraine in the 1920s, but he fled to Eretz Yisrael after the persecutions of the Russian Revolution, and he was determined to live a life of anonymity. He didn't want to be a Rebbe at all anymore. Unfortunately for him, he was discovered, and he was forced to become a Rebbe again because some of his constituents discovered him. But he was a very small time, very tiny, a little house in Beis Yisrael in Yerushalayim, and he barely had a minion, It was not well known. When the Belzer Rebbe, Rav Arla, came there to Israel in 1943, after a miraculous escape from the Nazis, so he was instantly a big success, very popular. He was a malach. He didn't look for that. He wasn't running after that, but everyone flocked to him, and made him into the great Rebbe. And right away, there was hundreds of people around him, a big shul, a big following, and today Belz is huge, and Shvil is very little to this day. So, the Shvila Rebbe's grandson asked his grandfather, he says, "Zay, do you know, and I know, that you're a great, great tzaddik also, the same league as the Belzer Rebbe. So how come he came to America and overnight, to Israel, and overnight he's an instant success, everyone knows about him, it's in the papers, everyone's talking about him, everyone's running after him, coming to hear him, hundreds of people by his tish, hundreds and hundreds, and you, we barely have a minion here, no one even knows about you. How come?" So he said this memorable line, which I love it. He says, because in every generation there are two tzaddikim. There are two types of tzaddikim. There's the tzaddik hador, the tzaddik of his generation, and then the tzaddik yisoid olam. There's the tzaddik who is the foundation of the earth. The earth stands on his shoulders. So he says, the Belzer Rebbe is the tzaddik hador. Meaning there's an outside tzaddik, a famous tzaddik, who's here to inspire the generation. Anybody ever saw a picture of the Belzer Rebbe? You just see the kedusha on his face. I'll show you a picture. If you saw him alive, I wish I was zeichet to see him alive. There's plenty of people who saw him. If you look at him, you want to become a David Hashem. You want to serve God. So the Belzer Rebbe is the tzaddik ador. He's, so to speak, the outside man to inspire people. And I am tzaddik yisoid olam. I am the tzaddik, the foundation of the earth. My job is to be the foundation. Now, a foundation of a building, the deeper in the ground it is, the World Trade Center has a foundation 6 feet deep, 6 stories deep, 6 stories on the ground. The higher the building, the deeper the foundation. That's why I have to be hidden, because I'm a foundation. The foundation has to be hidden under the earth. My job is just the opposite. So what does that mean? What he's saying is that really there's two kinds of tzaddikim. There's the tzaddik ador, who's like the torch, the man who kindles the torches. He's inspiration. And the tzaddik solom is a person who is deep in the earth, and he drags down. He's like a lightning rod to bring down God's blessings into the deepest part, down to the bowels of the earth, down to the lowest Jews that there could be. No matter where the Jews are, he's bringing blessings and protection down to people as low as he gets. Now, that's the essential extrapolation from the words of Nolan Miller. Let me just tell you one or two more things. I'm losing my voice. And in Parshas Shmos, Navi Melech says a big yesod. And Navi Melech says a yesod. He says, Hashem said to Moshe, when he was telling him to take the Yidna and Mitzrayim, he said, V'yomer ki yeye imcho, v'zelech al ha'ois, v'yitziach al es'om ha'zeh, this is the sign for you. When you leave Egypt, you'll go to that mountain, Mount Sinai, and you'll worship me there. So the Nevi Melech says, a simon toiv. It's a good sign for a person. If you want to know you're a good person, you want to know you're on the right road, when you hear stories of tzaddikim, you hear about the ma'ilus of a tzaddik, you hear about the good attributes of a tzaddik, the good characteristics of a tzaddik, and you get excited about it. When you hear about it, your heart, ribay choshek meslayv moit, your heart yearns to be like them, and you want to meet them, and be like them, and they're your role models, and they're the people you admire, and they're your heroes. When you hear about a holy tzaddik, you want to be like him. You want to meet him at least. So that is a great sign that Hashem is with you. And this is the word of God. And that's what God said to Moshe, Zelcha ois. I am telling you that Bo'tziacha, Moshe, the sign that you and the Jewish people are in the right place, on the right path, is, I'm telling you now, that the reason I'm taking out Mitzrayim is you should serve me on Har Sinai and get the Torah, and the sky will open up, and there'll be lightning and thunder and fire. And if that's what excites you about leaving Egypt more than liberty, money, booty, victory, revenge, all these other things, if getting to Har Sinai and getting the Torah and seeing the fire of heaven open up, if that's what excites you, then you know you're in a good place. Because a man is known by what your ambitions are, what excites you. You are what gets you excited. If you get excited about holy things, you're a holy person. If you get excited about other things, you're not. So that's a great sign. Hear a story about a tzaddik and get excited, then you know that you're in the right place. I'll tell you one last, the shtickel by the melech. And before my voice peters out, as the Noam Melech in Parshas Kedoshim, another famous one, and he says in the Sforum that in the future when Mashiach comes, he will gather in all the Jewish people scattered over the world, and the tzaddikim will be very close to the Mashiach, and the people who acted properly in Golus, but they had no seichel to serve God properly, and they didn't sin, and they learned Torah, but the main thing they loved in life is money. Their main love is money, money, and more money. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, Ashloisha Dvarim Olam Ami, three things the world stands on: kesef, mammon, yelt. The world stands on three things: money, money, and more money. So those people, when Mashiach comes, listen to this, Mashiach comes, he's going to take all those money-loving religious Jews who learned a little Torah, Davin, but the main thing is money. So he's going to take all of them to the Atlantic Ocean, and he's going to take them to some secret island in the middle of the Okeanos, and it'll open up for them huge treasure houses filled with money, and precious stones, and diamonds, and silver, and gold, money, everything you want. And he tells these Jews, take all you want. Take all the money your heart desires. Take it. And they're going to go home with loads and loads and loads of money. Rav betza kesem von rav. However, then the Mashiach is going to call out, okay, whoever wants to be redeemed, whoever wants to come there to Israel, just flap your hands and follow me. And every Jew, the tzaddikim, the ones who are close to the Mashiach, the ones who are disengaged from money, 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 they will just flap their wings like eagles. They'll become eagles themselves. When it says, Al-Kafin Asharim, the Jews go back on the wings of eagles. It's their own wings that turn into eagles' wings. And they'll be so light to leave everything behind. They have nothing to take with them. They just soar to Eretz Yisrael. But the other Jews, who, money, 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 they'll try to flap their hands like wings, but they'll be weighted down because their pockets are so full of money, and all these sacks of money are tied onto them that they can't lift off, they can't get off the ground. They'll never get to Eretz Yisrael because of the gashmias of the silver and the gold that sticks to them. They won't make it. Pretty scary. You have to jettison all this heavy money that's holding you back. So everyone laughs. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. There'll be a lot of surprise people when Mashiach comes. It's just not going to be what you think it is. Okay, should I tell you one little maisa, perhaps? I'll tell you there's so many stories about the Noah. There's one lovely story. I have books and books and books and books about him. Books, Svarim. One nice story about they lived in Lezhensk, his town. In the time of the Melech, there lived a Malamed, a poor teacher of children, a Malamed Tanaikas. And this Malamed Tanaikas, but he's not falling asleep. This Malamed Tanaikas, you know the story? Very poor. And he had children and a few daughters. And the time came for his daughters to get married. But he's busy teaching his children, very faithful Malamed Tanaikas. He has no time to go around collecting, doing something. So finally his wife says, no, shine. You have to take a leave of absence from the cheder and go around collecting for our daughters to get married. We have no money, we have to go around collecting. So she forces him to take a leave of absence, to leave his beloved job, and go around collecting money for Echlanos Kali. There's a few doors to marry off. So he goes to the nearby city, comes to the town view, says, what's your name? My name is Melech. And we are from Lezhensk. So some people thought, oh, this is the Rebbe Melech. Wow, this is the legendary Rebbe Melech of Lezhensk. He said, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a Malamed Tanaikas. I'm just a school teacher. I visited Lezhensk and I knew what the Rebbe Melech looked like. And I knew this guy's Taka, just a school teacher. And they gave him a few dollars. But as he went a little further away from Lezhensk, he went to places where people never came to visit Lezhensk, to visit the Rebbe Melech. So he goes, what's your name? Melech. We're from Lezhensk. Oh, really? What? What do you do? I'm a Malamed Tanaikas. I teach kids. So they said, no. They started thinking that he's really the Rebbe Melech. He's just trying to cover up. He wants to go incognito. So they started giving him a lot of money. But the money didn't come so easy. The money didn't come for free. Because they said to him, can we have a bracha, please? My daughter needs a shidduch. Can you give her a bracha or a shidduch? And what's he supposed to do? They want brachas. He knows he's not a Rebbe, but they want brachas. So he gave him brachas. And you know what? The funny thing was, a couple of days later, the daughter became a kala. From the person that someone sick in the house, says, Rebbe, please give a bracha to my mother. She should be cured. They thought he's a Rebbe Melech of Lezhensk. Gave a bracha, and the mother was cured. And then he kept on traveling. As he got even further and further away from Lezhensk, the people had never seen the Rebbe, just heard about legendary greatness. So the people flocked all around him. They were convinced he's really the Rebbe Melech coming in Golus. And they asked him for brachas, and all the brachas were being fulfilled. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand this, but he's making a lot of money. So after traveling for a few months like this, he made a lot of money to marry for all his daughters. He comes back to Lezhensk. And he figures, you know, Lemaisa, I made all this money in the schus of the Rebbe, because everyone thought I was him. So I have to thank the Rebbe. Lemaisa, I used his name. So I have to thank him for... because of him, I got the money. So he goes to the Rebbe Melech, and he says, Rebbe, I just want to thank you. And the Rebbe says, yeah, I know for what. You know, every place you went, you said you're a Melech. These people thought you're me. And they thought you do miracles. So therefore, I knew what's going on, and I had to cover up all these miracles. Every miracle you promised, every bracha you made, I had to cover it, also it would be a big chil Hashem. People think you're the holy Rebbe Melech of Lezhensk. You give blessings, they don't come true. So I was sitting here in Lezhensk, covering all your blessings, and all your prayers, all your good wishes. Don't ever do that again. This time I covered you, because you didn't know what was going on. But don't ever try that one again. I'm not going to cover you next time. That's the all-encompassing omnipotent, omniscience of the great Rebbe. Suso Yagen Aleinu.